Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Good to be here with you today. Hopefully you've been with us all along. If you haven't, go to WVFFradio.com and catch all the episodes. You're going to hear some things your pastor's never told you in church because he was never taught. And unfortunately, a lot of pastors don't get into this book and thoroughly read and read and read and read because it's right there in black and white. And some of the things I say you've never heard before, but I show you in black and white exactly where they are and why they are. And they've been there forever to see. But religion, many hundreds of years ago, adopted a set way to think about the story of creation. And that's all religion allows you to do. But it's right here. God says it does me, my heart, good for kings to search out the mysteries in this book. The only way you can find the mysteries in this book is to read it over and over and over again. I read it over 100 times through, and I still haven't scratched the surface, but I have found things that the religion that I'd had all my life never taught me, refused to teach me. I think some of them know, but they don't want it out there because it explains too much. It ties science and this book together. You know, oh, how can that be? It does. This earth is millions of years old, but we have only been here for maybe 9,000 years this time. Catch episode 1 and you'll find out this isn't the first time we've been here. It's right there. Starts in Jeremiah, the beginning of the Bible, believe it or not. Go back to Genesis and it picks up right from Jeremiah with the same wording, right back to Genesis, and you'll see there was another flood before this one, and God tore down the entire place, wiped out all the animals, the man, the cities were torn down, and the earth was without light. He put the light out. That was definitely not Noah's flood, in case you've read that before and thought, oh, that's Noah's flood he's talking about. No, it's not. God said he put the light out, but he knew that he would not leave it that way, and his wrath would one day die, and he would begin again. And it says the earth was void and without form. And if you turn from Jeremiah right there to Genesis, it says the earth was void and without form. And darkness covered the face. And God said, let there be light for at least the second time. And there's many, many more things. You can catch up with us, like I said, on WBFFradio.com. Catch all the episodes. We are just starting the book of Judges. Children of Israel have come out of Egypt. God had put them there for 400 years because he was dealing with the covenants he had with the inhabitants of the land of Canaan. Many covenants, you know, because Melchizedek was the king of Salem. He was the high priest of God. And he ruled over Jerusalem, and things didn't go well in the land of Canaan. God says, I will give you this land. He says to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, I will give you this land, but the inhabitants of the land have not transgressed enough against me. I'm still working with them, but I know they will. And one day, when they have crossed the line, I'll put them out and I'll bring you in. And they were in Egypt for 400 years. I wonder why God left them in Egypt so long. They're not his only people. You know, they're his chosen line because they're the Adamic line, not the seed of the serpent. He has a way for everyone as long as they choose to follow him. The first covenant given to Abraham was follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. How easy was that? Well, I say easy, but the mind of man is contrary to the will of God. God says, I place the spirit of man in the heart. It's up to the spirit man to gain control of the mind, which is contrary to God, and to drive this abominable flesh in a straight path. That is a task all in itself. And when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they proved to God they could not live in the simplicity of the first covenant, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. So he laid the bondage of the law on it, and it grew, and it grew, and it grew. It grew over a period of about 45 years into a massive, massive volumes of legal entreaties. You know, you can accidentally sin. You can sin without your knowledge. You know, it's so easy. You can touch a doorknob, an unclean person has touched it. You're sinful and dirty at that point. And then you must go through the ritual sacrifices to cleanse yourself. You can pick up a handful of soil to see how much, if you say you're a farmer, you pick it up, see how much, you know, moisture is in it. There's a dead critter in it. Oh, I got to go make a sacrifice now. You know, it's that easy, Jonathan. Mm-hmm. And for who would want to live under that? And that's the reason he put the law there, because they wouldn't live in the freedom and the simplicity of the first covenant. So he says, okay, you can't do it the easy way. We're going to do it the hard way. I'm going to give you things you can do with your hands, just like Adam and Eve tried to cover their sins with their hands, sewing together fig leaves. You can't do it. It's an impossible task. When you sin, blood must be shed. God said, the day you eat of the tree, you will surely die. When they ate of the tree, he didn't have it in his heart to kill his most prized. Those were his holy ones, you know. There was another creation on the sixth day, man and woman. He said, go and replenish the earth. Why would they use the word replenish? Go and replenish the earth. And then, day seven, God rested. And then a while later, we don't know how long, God said, oh, there's no man to till the ground in my garden. Wait a minute. You made men on the sixth day. Oh, yeah, but he's just recapping what he did on the sixth day here. No, he's not, because the wording is different. He made male and female, made them on the sixth day. And then when he said, oh, there's no man to till the garden, he made male and female and called their name Adam. Their name. It was one entity. And we don't know how many hundreds of years he lived in that garden while the other group was replenishing the earth of humans. And then he said, oh, well, Adam's alone. I need to make him a helpmate. And he took a rib and he basically cloned the great technician. He cloned, and it was a single DNA, you know, male and female, one DNA. There's a lot to be said there. A lot of things between the lines in this book. And, you know, that was his anointed line. And then during the fall in the garden, there's so much there. There were two children in Eve's womb, and they had two different fathers. You ever wonder where the seed of the serpent came from? You ever wonder why when after Abel was dead, God says, and Adam had another son, this one in his likeness, and called his name Seth. There's so much to be gleaned. You got to read this book over and over and over and over again. I'd read this book in its entirety 30 times before I started seeing some of this stuff. 75 times before I see other things. You know, if I make it to 500 times, God will still show me things, and he'll show it to you too. You earn, I don't understand the Bible when I read it. God says in here, if you earnestly read it, I will give you understanding. As much as you need, that's what he'll give you. All right, so the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They couldn't follow the simplicity of the first covenant. He nails on them this law, which is bondage and death, and it ends in separation from God. The law will never get you to heaven, Christian, Jew. It will never get you to heaven. It was put here to chastise you. It's its only purpose. And you Christians that wish to hold on to the law after finding Jesus Christ, this Bible says, if you hold on to this law and you confess Jesus Christ, you're making his sacrifice of no avail. It's like it's telling Christ what he done just wasn't good enough. I still have to keep Sunday holy for my neighbors to see. You know, we even cook on Saturday. Well, I got news for you. Sunday's not the Sabbath. So you're sinning all over the law too. let alone telling Christ he didn't do enough. Sorry, Messiah, I just wish you'd have done a better job, because the law makes me feel holy. Well, the Bible says if you keep one tittle of the law, you must keep it all. And it still ends in separation from God. Jesus Christ came to restore the simplicity of the first covenant. And like I said, it's not the Ten Commandments. That's the law. First covenant was, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. Jesus says, follow me with all your heart and be baptized. It's the same thing. One is the spirit man confessing God. The other one is the spirit man causing this flesh to do an outwardly worldly expression that I follow God. It's so simple. So we have come in and possessed the land. Moses wrote in his book of remembrance the entire prophecy of the nation of Israel. You will come in, you'll disobey God, you'll leave inhabitants in the land. You will, they will be thorns in your side. They will forever, you will go in. He even said you will be hauled away into captivity. He's seen it all. Then he turned it over to Joshua to bring them in. Joshua brings them in. And if you notice here, we're from Moses to Judges, we're slowly coming down. I'm not saying these were bad men, but Moses had talked to God face to face across the veil. You don't get no closer than that. If you get closer than that, you die. You can't see God in this flesh. He had talked to God. You know, Joshua was a man after God's heart too. He came back on the spying mission and said, oh, we can do it. God is with us. Joshua and Caleb, the only two that came back and said, we can do it. The other 10 said, no, we can't do it. Caused a whole lot of people to die with the dissent that the other 10 put in the camp. And that's what these Hebrews do. Is they just doubt God. One day they follow God, the next day they doubt God. Well, Moses is like the perfect leader, even though even his weariness, he failed God there at the end. But the flesh becomes weak, you know, especially with age. I see all the patriarchs, a lot of the patriarchs failing in their latter years. And it has to do with weariness. This life is hard. And it's difficult, but we have Moses was the best of the judges that there were. Joshua is right up there with him, but not quite. He's never talked to God face to face. He doesn't have it quite as good, but he has the faith in God. And he tells them, as soon as they came in and possessed the land, God said, don't leave any of them in your land. If you do, it's going to be a thorn in your side. You get them out, you'll be blessed. You leave them in, you'll be cursed. Well, we see three tribes right away. Don't put all the people out of their land. And we're going to see more here in just a minute, as soon as we get into Judges, because they're still possessing the land. The majority of the land is possessed, but there's still pockets that they have to possess. And we're going to see that they just will not follow God's rules and regulations that he's put on them. And we're going to see that these, as we get into these judges, I mean, there will be strong judges and weak judges, but they are further and further from God, because God is pretty much starting to take a hands-off approach to these people. He was there in the camp, in the wilderness, off and on the entire time. He talked to Moses directly. And you're going to see that his absence is more and more and more. And the absence from God is because they will not obey. Had they come in and wiped this place clean, he would have been there for them. So we're in the book of Judges now, chapter 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them? And you'll also see that after Joshua, you know, Moses was a shepherd of the entire flock. Joshua was a shepherd of the entire flock. Not quite as much as Moses, but now the entire flock is dispersed over a wide landscape. And the judges now will be like the champions of the flock. When there's a problem that arises, the judge will go up and deal with it, whether it's military or whether it's a cancerous of disbelief in the community. But he will be more like a champion instead of the flock leader. And the Lord said to Judah, shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. Okay, directly from God. Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land right into his hand. And Judah said to Simeon his brother, "Come up with me into my lot, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I likewise will go with thee into thy." You know, that's I don't know how much is wrong with asking your brother to go up and fight with you, but God said, "Judah, go, I'm with you." He didn't need anyone else.
That is by himself.
Yes, lack of faith right there. And we'll see what happens because of that. So Simeon went with him, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they slew of them in Bezek 10,000 men. And they found Abedonabezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Abedonabezek, these names, fled, and they pursued after him, and caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. Mm. Interesting, isn't that?
Mm-hmm.
And Abinibezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my tables. Oh, they did that to him because he had done that to many others, as I have done. So God hath requited me. And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. Now the children of Judah had fought against Jerusalem, and had taken it and smitten it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. Interesting. See, that goes back to the covenants that God had with Jerusalem 400 to 500 years ago, because the Melchizedek, priest of Salem, Jerusalem, priest of the Most High God. There was another covenant there that the pastors never told you about. There's many, many covenants in this book. It wasn't just the heathen and the Hebrew. It wasn't just God's people and the others. Because God, from the moment he established the law before that, in the first covenant, anyone that wants in your family, Abraham, bring them in, circumcise them. They follow me, they're yours and they're mine. He never excluded anyone in this book, even back to Cain, the seed of the serpent.
Yes.
Yeah. When his sacrifice wasn't righteous, and he got mad and his countenance fell, God says, "What's wrong, Cain? Don't you know there's redemption even for you? Even for you." He didn't go into the details, but even with your bloodlines, even knowing who your father is, the father of lies and murders, even for you, there is redemption. All you have to do is follow me with all your heart. And afterward, the children of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites and dwelt in the mountain and in the south and in the valley. And Judah went against the Canaanites and dwelt in Hebron. The name of Hebron was before Kirjatharba. And they slew Shisha and Haman and Talmi. From thence he went against the inhabitants of Debir. The name of Debir was before Kirjathsepher. And Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjathsepher and taketh it, to him will I give Esha, my daughter, to wife." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, took it. And he gave Esha, his daughter, to wife. And it came to pass when she came to him, and that she moved him to ask for her father a field. She lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, "What wilt thou?" She said unto him, "Give me blessings, for thou hast given me the south land. Give me also springs of water." And Caleb gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. The children of Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up out of the city to palm trees with the children of Judah into the wilderness of Judah, which lieth in the south of Arad, and they went and dwelt among the people. And Judah went with Simeon his brother, and they slew the Canaanites and inhabited Zepheth and utterly destroyed it. Now it sounds like Judah and Simeon are really doing what God said they should do. They're just wiping these people out. Well, stay tuned. The name of the city was called Hormah. Also Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. What happened to the chariots of iron, Jonathan, when they were crossing the Red Sea?
And the wheels started coming off.
Yeah. And they were brand new bearings.
Yeah.
They were just greased. Pharaoh said, "Get the chariots ready."
They were the king's army.
Yes. So, they got all the chariots ready. They just greased all the bearings. You know, doubt. And the first doubt was when he said, "Hey, yeah, I know God said he's with me, Judas. I know God said he's with me, but Simeon, can you bring your guys too?"
Yeah. You busy? You guys busy?
And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Those would have been giants, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day, a thorn in your side. You know what that means? That means trouble and pain. As long as you leave these people, get them all out. And the house of Joseph, they also went up to Bethel, and the Lord was with them, and the house of Joseph sent to decry Bethel. Now the name of the city was Luz. The spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city. We will show thee mercy. When they showed the entrance of the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family. The man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day. Neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Beth-shean and her towns, nor Tornak and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Dor and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Bibalam and her towns, nor the inhabitants of Megiddo and her towns. But the Canaanites would dwell in that land. It came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute and did utterly drive them out. And did not utterly drive them out. Not utterly drive them out. You remember when the first three tribes didn't drive them out and they made slaves of them and put under tribute? These guys were watching. Hey, they're over there chopping wood for them, man.
Yeah.
Why? I know God said, yeah, I know he said to run them all out, but man.
It's just as good.
Slave labor is awesome, buddy.
Yeah.
You know? We can all be kings.
Yeah, just sit back all day.
Yeah. Neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites that dwell in Gezer. Ephraim wanted some slaves too.
Mm-hmm.
The Canaanites dwell in Gezer among them. Neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalal. But the Canaanites dwelt among them and became tributaries. The problem with this, you know, it seems like a good economic thing to do, but God said don't do it. The problem with is not just them having slaves. Had they done this, and you know, and Caleb cut them some slack. He said, all right, you know, there's three tribes of you, haven't run them out. Okay, you did that. That was God. You went against God. You did that. But don't mingle with them. Don't mix with them. Don't adopt their ways. Don't adopt their gods. Okay, maybe they'll just die out. And that sin will go away. But no, that's the problem. They start mingling with them. The seed of the serpent. Why do you think God wanted them wiped out? Because he's a horrible, horrible God, just wants people wiped out? No, he's not. He had covenants with these people. They were unmanageable by the Almighty God. They must go because they are mostly the seed of the serpent. You got to catch episode 1 to understand that. So we got now the Hebrew mingling with them. What did Jesus say to the Pharisees? Your father is the father of lies, because they were mingled at that time. They had all been polluted. It's only one line, I guarantee you. It wasn't. It was the line of Christ. Just like there was only one line before the flood. God said Noah's line was perfect. It had not been polluted yet with the seed of the serpent. And I guarantee you, Satan's ultimate goal was to pollute every line in the Adamic line, in the Abrahamic line, so that Christ couldn't be brought forth. But there was one. And you're going to see some of these stories. God does such fantastic things to make you think that line is polluted. You'll get your eyes off of it. Oh, Satan stopped focusing on that line, you know. The deal with Judah and his daughter-in-law, you know, that's right there in the line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lady that helped the spies out, and they put his purple scarlet out of her window. She's right there in the line. You know, it's a spiritual battle that's going on in the world from the time of the beginning of the first world. When the king of Tyre, the destroyer of worlds, Satan himself, and the serpent in the garden, Satan himself, he was already here. Where did the serpent come from? You know, God created Adam and Eve in the garden. All of a sudden, the serpent pops up. This shining one, a cherub, an ancient cherub that had waged war against God eons ago and was cast down to this world and destroyed it at least the first time. When God said, let there be light, it was for at least the second time. Read Jeremiah. Get riled up here. Verse 31. Neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Aco, nor the inhabitants of Zidon, nor of Alab, nor Achzib, nor of Helbar, nor of Aphek, nor of Rehob. Okay. So we got no judge right now. And as soon as Joshua was gone, they just do whatever they want. Helab, nor Aphek, nor of Rehob. But the Asherites dwelt in among the Canaanites and inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh, or the inhabitants of Beth Anath. But he dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anath became tributaries unto them. The Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountain, for they would not suffer them to come down to the valley. Wow.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.